This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. We've got a different show for you today, and I'm really excited to share today's topic, and I know you're going to want to stay with us for every minute. You're going to learn a lot. We're going to be talking about the mind-body connection. But before we go to that, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Do You Wish Your Kids Ate Better? If you've got kids that you're struggling to eat healthy, you absolutely want to download this book. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime fun and healthy and involving the whole family. So go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and get your free copy today. I know you're going to be excited about today's show. It's a topic we've been kind of hinting at over the last few months with some of our guests. So that's why we're digging in a little bit deeper today. So grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage and let's get started. As I hinted at, today's show is going to be a little bit different. Rather than doing a normal interview, we're going to talk about the mind-body connection, how internal blocks and emotional triggers hold you back. We're going to share a little bit about using your internal dialogue. These are topics that are really going to help you shift the way you think about food and the choices you make. In our online Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program, we focus on the mind-body connection because it's such a key to making the shifts that you need to eat healthy. So in the first half of the show, we're going to be listening in and talking about that. You know, the mind is so powerful, yet it sometimes gets in the way of our success. Understanding this mind-body connection is one of the principles at the core of creating a long-lasting, healthy life for yourselves and the ones you love. We're going to also be talking about uncovering and managing those internal blocks and emotional triggers that often result in thinking negative thoughts rather than positive ones. Those are the things that can really hold you back without even knowing it. We're going to teach you how to identify those and help you get rid of them so you can move forward. Then in the second half of the show, we're going to dig deeper into how the internal dialogue works. Everyone has an internal dialogue going on in their head, so that's perfectly normal. But sometimes that internal dialogue can be negative, and it can hold you back from success. We're going to be talking about how you can harness your own internal dialogue and take control of your health and your weight. And then we're going to finish up with a discussion of emotional eating, how to recognize it and deal with it. So stay with me for the next hour, and if you do, you're going to come away with an entire toolkit for creating a healthy life. And be sure to stay tuned to the very end of this call, because you're listening with us today. I have a very special offer for you. If you like what you hear and you want to learn more, I'm going to give you a way that you can check out our Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program and save. So be sure to listen all the way through the call. So stay tuned and enjoy. We're going to start by sitting in on a current training session in progress on the mind-body connection. I'll be back in a little bit to close up, and then we'll go to the next section. So sit back and listen in on session 2 of the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program. Today we're going to start by talking about the mind-body connection. This is really an incredibly important concept. Your mind is
so powerful, yet it sometimes gets in the way of our success. This is really important when it comes to eating. For many people, much of their eating is what we call emotional eating. It is triggered by emotions rather than physical hunger. We eat because it makes us feel better, not because our body needs fuel. We'll talk a lot more about emotional eating a little bit later in this call, but first, let's look at how the mind works. We're going to start by talking about conscious versus subconscious mind. There are a lot of ways that you can look at the mind, but for our purposes, we really divide it into two parts, the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. The conscious mind is the part that we use to make decisions, to figure things out, and to think through situations. It's the part of the mind we are most familiar with. The subconscious mind takes care of all those things we do each day that we don't really think about. It includes your bodily functions like breathing, and it also includes things like habits. Let me ask you, how much do you think the subconscious mind actually does? It's actually an amazing amount, as it turns out. Recent research in neuroscience, which is the science behind how the mind functions, has found that for most people, the subconscious mind controls 95% or more of our activity each day. Think about that, 95%. So let's try an experiment. If you're in a place where you're sitting, where you're not driving or doing something that requires your hands, I want to ask you to fold your hands on your lap or in the table in front of you with your fingers interlocked, just like they may have taught you in grammar school. So now that you've done that, I want you to look at how your hands are folded. Is your right thumb over your left thumb? Your left thumb over your right? Are your hands actually one within the other? Did you have to really think about what you were doing? No, you just did it automatically. Here's another example. Think about when you brush your teeth. Do you start on the top or the bottom, the left or the right? Do you stop and think about what you do first? I bet in both of those scenarios, you don't even give it any special thought. I'm also willing to bet that, like me, you're thinking about a million other things when you're brushing your teeth or you're doing some of those automatic behaviors. These are just a couple of examples of how the subconscious mind is constantly working away, helping us do the things we do each day. On top of that, the subconscious mind is believed to operate up to 1 million times faster than the conscious mind. That makes the subconscious mind much more powerful than the conscious mind. It operates much faster, and we use it a lot more than we think we do. In fact, it really shapes how we live our lives without even being aware of it. So if you could somehow retrain your subconscious mind, you could make huge changes in your life. And that's really exciting and incredibly powerful. This is especially important when it comes to eating. Your subconscious mind controls your emotions, and as we said earlier, emotions can often drive eating. In fact, one recent study said that as much as 75% of overeating was driven by emotions. 75% of our eating can be emotional eating. It turns out that much of our life reflects our subconscious training. For all its power, though, the subconscious mind has one shortcoming. It can't tell the difference between fact and fiction. The job of the subconscious mind is to believe whatever it's told and create reality out of it, to prove whatever it's told is actually true and then make it happen. The good news is that you can use that to your advantage if you know how. This is really important because if you have negative thoughts in your subconscious, 95% of the time, you will recreate those negative experiences in your life. So let me repeat that. If you have negative thoughts in your subconscious, 95% of the time, you will recreate those negative experiences in your life. If you take the time to stop and listen to your conscious mind and what it's telling you, you will likely find that your subconscious mind runs a lot of your negativity. You might ask, why are so many of our thoughts negative? It's because they're often based on things that we think might happen to us rather than things that actually happen to us. That may not sound strange, but it's really true. They also might be based on past experiences. They may have kept you safe at one time, but they're things that are no longer reflected in your current situation. So, how do you get out of that endless cycle of old negative thinking and replace it with new positive thinking? Remember, the power of the subconscious mind, which is 1 million times more powerful than the conscious mind, and the amount of time it's running is 95%. The thing to remember is that the conscious mind is where you make choices. Your subconscious mind is different. In your subconscious mind, things are automatic. But this is good news. It means that by feeding your subconscious mind with positive thoughts, you can retrain it to make positive choices automatically. In order to be able to change your behaviors, you first need to be aware of them and then change the thoughts running through your head. If the majority of thoughts are positive, then your actions will follow. In essence, you'll create your own success. Let's first take a look at a tool for uncovering your own negative thinking. Then we can turn our attention to changing that into positive thinking that will feed your subconscious with lots of positivity, especially around eating.
I hope you're enjoying this discussion on the mind-body connection. Are you surprised at just how much influence your subconscious has on your life? I know that when I discovered this connection, I was amazed. Understanding this basic connection is at the heart of creating your own success with dieting or with anything else in your life. We're going to be taking a real short break, and when we return, we'll continue our discussion on the mind-body connection by talking about how your subconscious mind creates blocks to your success. You don't want to miss it, so stay tuned. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I want to get back into session two of a personalized wellness program. The next part takes the mind-body connection and builds on it. You'll start to see how you can uncover your own internal blocks and remove them once and for all. So let's pick up on session two of the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program.
Uncovering your negative thinking starts with identifying the things that are holding you back. These are often the emotional triggers that we experience. And here's what I mean by that. Everyone has blocks. These are things that keep us from being successful or hold us back from accomplishing something important. It's part of what makes us human, but these blocks can freeze us in place. They can make decisions difficult or sometimes impossible to make. Let me be clear. These blocks are perfectly natural. Mostly, they're the brain's way of telling you that you need to be careful. Your subconscious mind is actually trying to protect you from harm. But many times, its concern for your safety is unfounded. Blocks come from the subconscious part of the brain. Remember, we talked and said that the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between fact and fiction. Some of your blocks may have been created in your subconscious mind long ago, maybe even when you were a child. In fact, the situation that existed then, the one that caused the block in the first place, may not even exist anymore, but your subconscious mind doesn't know that until you tell it. Once you know what your unique blocks are, you can address them and then work to overcome them. The process that I'm going to show you can actually be used for just about any part of your life. We're going to look at how this applies to food and eating, since that's the focus of this program, but you can apply what I'm about to show you in almost anything in your life, business, relationships, really any areas that you're stuck. And it's an incredibly powerful technique. It will take a bit of time to master, but once you master it, there's really no limit to the success that it could have in your life. I'm going to ask you to really think openly and honestly about some of the things that we're going to ask and write those down. What I ask you to do is trust the process. Even if you don't fully understand why I'm asking the questions I'm asking, just go with it. It all has a purpose. So I'm going to call this your emotional trigger exercise, and this is something that I'm going to want you to spend more time on in the coming week. So you should have a handout titled Your Emotional Triggers, and that gives you the step-to-step process. So use this to take some notes, and we're going to just do a high-level overview and spend just a few minutes on it, and then you're going to have time to go back during the week. Once I walk you through it, you're going to be able to use the handout to help you spend more time. Once you finish the exercise, we'd like to ask you to email it to us because your results are really going to help us understand more about you and your relationship with food so that we can support you on this journey. So are you ready? You can either use the handout or take out a notebook or paper if you don't have the handout in front of you. So this is called your emotional triggers, and it's really about the things that hold you back. As I said, everyone has fears and blocks and things that hold you back. Often, the things that hold you back and block your success act as emotional triggers that lead you to eat. We use food in a way to deflect our attention away from those blocks and avoid dealing with them and dealing with the real issue. So what we're going to do is we're going to start by identifying and then work through overcoming those blocks. So in step one, we're going to look at what causes fear, stress, and anxiety for you. So ask yourself, what causes fear, stress, and anxiety in your life? These can be things that you do, situations you find yourself in, or beliefs that you have. So let me give you just a real quick example, and then I'm going to give you just a short time to write a couple things down. So one for me was I sometimes don't have any idea where to start or what I'm supposed to do. That causes a lot of stress for me. So I'm going to give you just about a minute to write down some things that cause fear, stress, and anxiety for you, and I'm going to be quiet while you do that. Going to give you about another 15 seconds to wrap that up. So let's move on to step two. And this one is, how does fear, stress, and anxiety show up for me? So what are the physical signs? I know one for me, and I was doing something the other day, and it happened, and my stomach just feels like it's in knots. So write down the physical symptoms that you have in your body when you're under stress. I'm going to be quiet while you do that. About another 15 seconds. So let's move to step three. And again, you're going to have more time this week to work on this in more detail. In step three, the question is, how do I use food to respond to those physical signs? These should be things that you actually do, not things that you think or feel. For me, I know when I get stressed, I go and reach for something chocolate or something sugary. So what are some of the physical things that you do when you're responding to the physical signs of fear, stress, or anxiety? Again, I'm going to give you some time and be quiet. About another 15 seconds to wrap that up. So let's move on to step four. I love this one. It's, what do I control and what is out of my control? So what we're going to do is go back and take one of the items that you identified in step one and list both the things about that item that you have. So two columns. One column is what you control and things about that item that you don't have control over. So list the item and then two columns, the left side is what you have control over and the right side is what you don't have control over. And I'm going to just give you just a real short time to list some of those. About another 15 seconds. So let's go to page 2 of the document that you have, and we're on step 5. And this is a really powerful step in the process, where I really want you to internalize this and really think about this, because as women, we feel like we have to do everything, and even the things that we really don't have any control over. Step 5 is, I will release myself from the things I don't control. So I want you to read the list of things that you do not control, the list on the right-hand side, and take a slow, deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth, and then say out loud. And let's take a breath first so we can do this together. So in through your nose and out through your mouth. Then I want you to repeat together with me. I release all the things that I do not control. Again, I release all the things that I do not control. And you're going to go back and repeat that for each of the items that you listed in step 1 of this exercise. You're going to do the things you control and the things you don't, and then you're going to release those. So, congratulations. I hope you feel a bit of relief and realize that you're going to let some things go, and that is part of the process of letting go of the emotional triggers that are really driving your behaviors. So I'm going to ask in step 6, so that's, what actions am I going to take to address the things that are within my control besides reaching for food? So what I'm going to ask you to do this week is to go back to the items on your you do control sides on the left-hand side of step 4 and list some of those things, and then share in our forum the items that you do control and what you're going to do to address those. So I know we went through the exercise pretty quickly, but I really hope you got a taste of what it is and how powerful it can be. I'm going to ask you to spend some more time on it this week, and just understand that each person's answers and focus are going to be different. There's no right or wrong answers in this exercise. Find what works for you, and I'm going to also ask you to have fun with it. Really think about it and really let go of the things that are holding you back. Remember, it's a critical step in the process. Now that you know what emotional triggers are, let's look at a couple of tools that will help you break through the blocks and retrain your subconscious with positive thinking.
I hope you found that discussion interesting, and I hope you took those exercises seriously and really did the exercises, not just say, oh, I'll do it later, or ignore it. I encourage you, if you didn't do it, to replay that last section and take advantage of those exercises. I can tell you that they really made a big difference in my actions and being aware of what I was doing. They can really make a big difference in your life. We need to squeeze in another short break, but when we return, we'll continue our discussion on the mind-body connection by talking about how you can use your own internal dialogue to drive your success. Success in dieting or almost any area of your life. You don't want to miss it, so stay tuned. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I want to get back into session two, our personalized wellness program. This next section takes the mind-body connection and, again, continues to build on it. You'll start to see how you can uncover your own internal blocks and remove them once and for all. That's right, remove them. So let's pick up on session two of the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program.
So the first tool that will help you change is something called your inner dialogue or your inner voice. Everyone has an inner dialogue going on in their head, and that's perfectly normal. We call it an inner dialogue because it's really a conversation that you have with yourself inside your head. For example, have you ever caught yourself saying, diets haven't worked before, so why even try to lose weight? Or I have no willpower, so I might as well give up now. Does that sound familiar to you? Most people have some version of those, as well as others, going on in their head, but each person is unique, and each person has their own unique set of inner dialogues. Inner dialogues can be positive, but unfortunately for many people, this set of internal dialogues is often negative, and that's not good. In fact, those negative inner dialogues are often driven by the emotional triggers that we talked about in the exercise we just finished. The good news is that in a study after study, self-compassion, being supportive and kind to yourself, especially in the face of stress and emotions, is associated with more motivation and stronger willpower and more self-control. So that's great news. Now, our internal dialogue takes place in the conscious mind, but, and this is really important, what you say to yourself in the conscious mind is heard by your subconscious mind. Remember, we said that the subconscious mind doesn't distinguish between fact and fiction. To it, everything is fact. So when you have negative internal dialogue in the conscious mind, you're actually training your subconscious mind with a negative reality. Does that make sense? We all have the tendency to believe self-doubt and self-criticism, but listening to this voice, never. And for those of you that know me, I rarely use the word never, gets us closer to our goals. Believe me, and I know, I'm an author in a recent bestseller called Succeeding in Spite of Everything, and my chapter was titled Finding Me. I can tell you I'm a master storyteller, and I'm intimately familiar with how your inner dialogue affects what you do and what you're able to do. And what I'll do is I'll post my chapter, and I'll share that with you so that you can read it, and I think it'll be a great example of this process. Instead, what we want to do is train ourselves to take the point of view of a mentor or a good friend who believes in us, wants the best for us, and encourages us. The work that we just did and the work that we're going to continue doing this week in the emotional triggers exercise is one way to start changing your own inner dialogue. Instead of beating yourself up by saying things like, I can't, or I'm stuck. What could you do? In the emotional triggers exercise, you identified what things were out of your control and you released them. You then identified what was within your control, and you're going to put steps in place to achieve them. And hopefully you came away from that exercise saying to yourself, you can do it. That's the beginning of a positive inner dialogue. Here's a couple of additional ideas for you to do or to think about. Create a what went well list today and do that each night. Last week we talked about focusing on what you accomplished each day. We often look at what we didn't do, but we really want you to focus on what you did do. Focus on the good and avoid talking about, I did this well, but. I want that to come out of your vocabulary. I did this really well today, and I had an amazing day. I want to also ask you to think about creating a tolerating list. I do this now about once a month, and I find that whenever I make this list about what I'm tolerating, many of the items on the list quickly get taken care of because I want them off the list or I let them go. They're on the list for a long time because I don't really want to do them. Then I celebrate the accomplishments of that day and really celebrate what I did and what I let go of at the end of my day. So what about you? Can you identify some situations where you engage in negative self-talk? If someone asked you to name 5 things that you love about yourself and 5 challenges or things that you need to improve upon, which list would be easier for you to come up with? If your negative qualities come up and come to mind much quicker, you're not alone. Most of the people I work with have the same experience. You may not criticize yourself out loud, but how often do we look in the mirror and think, I look stunning today, versus, I got to lose a few pounds, or that top is too tight, or that dress doesn't fit. The secret to reframe your inner dialogue in positive terms is really where focusing on your big why comes in and is so important. When you have a clear idea of what you want and who you want to become, it makes it easier to replace those old thoughts and behaviors with new ones that align with who you want to be and what you want to do. The first step is to be aware of the thoughts that you have that are negative and reframe them as positive. For example, instead of thinking, I will never be able to lose weight, say to yourself, I know how to make healthy choices and create a healthy body. Instead of thinking, I don't have enough time, say to yourself, I choose to spend my time on the things that make me healthy. Instead of thinking, I will wait until you fill in the blank to get healthy, say to yourself, I am committed to making small changes starting today that will make me healthy. Do you get the idea? Over the next week, I really challenge you to stop and think consciously about your actions when you're reaching for food. If you hear that negative inner dialogue starting, consciously change it to a positive dialogue. Start paying attention to the blocks, stress, and anxiety that are driving your behavior and the stories that you're telling yourself about food and eating. This is where keeping a mood journal really, really helps. Just like making small changes in the way you eat that add up over time, you don't have to change all of your inner dialogue right now. Just pick one negative thought, write it down, and then reword it as a positive thought. Practice saying that positive thought throughout the day a few times. When you catch yourself going back to the negative thought throughout the day, simply stop, take in a deep breath, let it out, and say to yourself, I am in control of what I think. I choose to think, and then insert your positive thought right there. If you do that a few times, your inner dialogue will begin to change, and eventually your subconscious mind will believe you, releasing that old negative thought.
I hope you found that session interesting. Did you recognize some of your own internal dialogue? Again, I would encourage you to take these exercises seriously. I know they may seem like they're simple or there's not much to them, but when you really take a step back and you really listen to the things that you're saying, the things that are going on around you, they will transform your health. Changing your own negative dialogue into positive dialogue and recognize your own emotional triggers can really be transformational. We need to take our last short break. When we return, we'll finish up with a great discussion on emotional versus hunger-based eating. Emotional eating is the thing that many of us struggle with. It's what sabotages most diets today, so you don't want to miss this. Stay tuned. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I want to get back into session two of the personalized wellness program. Many of us deal with the challenge of emotional eating. I know I do from time to time. In this session, you'll learn how to identify emotional eating triggers and how to deal with them. So let's pick up on session two of the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program. Enjoy.
So let's circle back around to the topic of emotional versus hunger-based eating. So let me ask you this question. What is food? What does it mean to you? At its most basic, food is a source of energy and fuel for your body. But it's also a way to stay socially connected, and food is also a source of personal pleasure for many of us. And for many people, it provides a way to feel better about themselves and their situation. This is what we call emotional eating. So how do you sort out emotional eating versus hunger-based eating? You know, a quote that we love is by Ben Franklin, and it says, "One should eat to live, not live to eat." And you know, that's great advice. What he was really saying was that we should be driven by hunger-based eating, not emotional-based eating. That doesn't mean we shouldn't enjoy eating. I love a good meal. I think we all do. What it does mean is that we shouldn't use food as an emotional crutch to help us avoid other issues. Emotional eating is an issue for many people. So if it's an issue for you, you are not alone. On today's call, we've given you several tools to help you address emotional eating. But how can you recognize emotional eating? Are there specific signs that emotional eating rather than hunger-based eating is driving your actions? It turns out that there are. So the final handout that you have for today is titled Emotional versus Hunger-Based Eating, and it lists some of those signs. And as we go through the list, I want to challenge you to think about your own eating behaviors and see if you recognize any of these signs. also remember that your mood journal is a great tool and will help you recognize these signs. I encourage you as we're going through them to, you know, make a note next to ones that really resonate with you and that you really relate to. So let's start with the emotional-based eating, and we'll come back and fill in the top in just a minute. But let's talk about the emotional-based eating side on the left. In this one, your hunger comes on very quickly, almost like you've turned on a light switch. And you want or crave really specific foods, and nothing else will do. If someone offers you an option, you don't want it. You just want the food that you want. And your hunger is paired with emotion. For example, you want to eat when something stressful happens, or when you're sad, or when you're procrastinating, or when you've got to make a decision that you don't know how to make. So you can refer back to your daily feelings and insights journal, which is your mood journal. Your eating is absent-minded or unconscious when it's emotional-based eating. So you eat from a bag of chips or you eat cookies and you don't even realize that it's gone. You just keep eating and eating. You don't stop until your plate or the bowl is empty. And you may feel overfull. Oftentimes, you don't feel full at all. You don't feel anything. You could feel lethargic and sleepy, or your stomach could bother you. Oftentimes you may feel that. Other times you may have no feeling at all. And oftentimes you may feel guilty when you're finished eating. On the other hand, hunger-based eating comes on gradually and gets stronger over time. You're really flexible and open to different options and choices. A number of foods will sound good when they're offered. You don't have to have something in particular. And this hunger comes from your stomach. Your stomach feels empty and it often grumbles and makes a noise. You may feel lightheaded, like you're running low on energy. And this could often happen when you haven't eaten for 3 to 5 hours. It's been a while since you last ate. Also on hunger-based eating, you're really conscious about what you're eating, and you're also very aware of when you're full. You take bites, and you really enjoy what you're eating. You're not in a rush. You really savor the flavor. And you stop when you're full. You usually have lots of energy. Your body feels good. You're ready to go. You just, it's satisfied, that physical need that you have for more energy. And once you're done eating, you're finished. You don't think about eating again. You know that eating is a normal part of your day, and it provides your body with the nutrition that you need. So over the next week, when you feel the urge to eat, I'm going to ask you to review this list and see if you can identify emotional versus hunger-based eating. Really listen and start to get in touch with your body and get to identify those physical symptoms of hunger. Now, as you start to change how you're eating and what you're doing, you may find that you're more hungry for a while, and that's okay. Just really pay attention to how you're feeling and making sure that it's emotional, that they're eating for hunger-based reasons, not emotional-based reasons. So we've spent most of this session talking about tools to change the way you think about food. That's because how you think affects what you eat and how you feel. On the same emotional versus hunger-based eating handout, there's a diagram at the top that shows this relationship. So let's start with the purple box on the left-hand side, and we're going to go around and fill in the blanks. Again, we talked about the neuroscience of writing it down so it helps you internalize it and own it. The purple box on the left should say how you think So think goes on the blank line. Following the arrow around the cycle, the blue box at the top should say what you eat. So eat goes on that blank line. And the green box in the lower right-hand corner should say how you feel. So feel goes on the blank line. How you think affects what you eat. What you eat affects how you feel. And how you feel affects what you think. This cycle shows you why it's so important to understand how your mind works. It really drives the cycle. If you change your thoughts, then you can change the way you eat and the way you feel, which in turn changes the way you think. And that's really good news about emotional eating. Once you begin to change this cycle by changing the way you think, the cycle tends to get better and better and easier and easier. Each time you change your internal dialogue from negative to positive, each time you retrain your subconscious mind with positive statements or affirmations or taking quiet time, you affect what you eat, which affects how you feel, which makes it easier to change how you think. And it continues on. So as we close out today,
I hope you've been enjoying what you're listening to. If emotional eating is an issue for you, I hope that last section that we just listened to gave you some great tools for dealing with it. And again, I hope you're taking the exercises very seriously. And I'd love to have you share what some of your emotional eating triggers are on Facebook. If you go to eatgreatlivewell.com and click on the Facebook link, share what you found and what you discovered about yourself from listening today, and let's all continue the conversation. You know, if you can begin to identify those times when you're feeling emotional eating coming on, then you're really getting to the point where you can start to deal with emotional eating, and using some of the tools that we talked about today will really help. You know, there are so many things that we can do each day to change the direction of our health and our life. Today we've given you some great ideas to get started, and it's my hope that you will take what you've learned here and the tools that you've been given and really use them to make a difference in your health for yourself and for the ones you love. And again, I hope you enjoyed this look into our personalized wellness program. There really is so much great information included in this program, and it's hard to select just a few things to share with you. This program has made such a difference for so many people. If you think you might benefit from what you've heard today and you want to learn more, then go to eatgreatlivewell.com. Check it out, and you'll see an outline of the entire course, some of the things that we talked about today, and so much more. So go to eatgreatlivewell.com and check it out. So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourselves and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewell.com. Click on Facebook and continue to be part of the conversation. And I also invite you, if you've enjoyed what you've listened to today, to go to eatgreatlivewell.com. And if you'd like to sign up for our course, because you were on today's call, I'd like to offer you a special discount. Just put in the code EGLW50 and you'll save 50% off the registration for the program. Be sure to share it with your friends and invite someone to take the class along with you. Share it and continue the conversation. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love.
Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.